Happy Monday, everybody. Today is September the 27th of 2021. Believe it or not, this is the 270th day of the year. There remains 92 days remaining in the year of 2021. Boy, hasn't this been a fast year, and maybe not fast enough for some of us because we're still dealing with COVID and variants, how it keeps mutating itself over and over and just will not go away. Is this one of the plagues? Is this one of the signs of the last days? Hey, it may be. I'm not sure. Well, welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download from your Play Store an app called TuneIn. Okay, just type that in. TuneIn app. Once it pops up and you download it, on any electronic device, it just doesn't have to be a cell phone or your computer. It can be a laptop, okay? Then you search WWGH once it downloads. You can also call in and be a part of the conversation today. 740-383-9944 if you would like to ask any questions or make any comments, okay? Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. It will take place October the 16th. Hey, October is here. I think it's, the end of this week? October is here, people, already. Again, this will take place October the 16th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there, 740-262-0939. Now, I like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is entitled Benevolence, Love, and Acceptance. I am selfless. I am a selfless soul, returning to an awareness and experience of my original serene self. I create thoughts and feelings of benevolence, love, and acceptance for my global family. I appreciate the elements of nature and send vibrations of peace. Now that's a good thing. If you can send vibrations of peace instead of turmoil, you're doing good. You're doing your part as being a good neighbor, a good friend, a good churchgoer, a good mother, a good father, or even a good child, a teacher, pastor. Whatever field you may be working in, living in, whoever you're around, if we can generate peaceful thoughts or ambience of peace all around us, wouldn't that be great in this world of turmoil all the time? Well, I'm going to start off the show by saying, keep my family in prayer as I keep your family in prayer. We did receive news that we lost a loved one today, Alex Reese. Many of you may know him. He's keyboard player, worship leader, I think at the Church of Genesis at this time. And he and his wife were partners in Christ. They labored together. She's a prophetess, evangelist, and their daughter. Well, anyway, we lost him this morning with complications from COVID. I think he had been in the hospital for quite a while. He also does taxes. So those of you who may know him, you know, or our family, Sim's family, Reese's family, a few of us go by that last name. Keep us in prayer as we keep your family in prayer. Because we never know what the next moment is going to hold. A friend of mine, Annette Johnson, she had her 6th heart attack. Can you believe having that many heart attacks? And she is still in the land of the living. I thank God for that, but keep her in prayer because she's still in the hospital, and I think she has to have another procedure done. But we really pray that the Lord will keep all of those who are sick, keep his hand upon them, and deliver them from their afflictions and from sickness and evil and from death. So it was like, you know, we had reports of, of people in the family going through hard times of illness and sickness. And, you know, my daughter and I, we left each other with this thought. We have one body. We have one life. Take care of your body. It may give you longer days to be in the land of the living. Take care of yourself. Eat right. Do what you need to do for you and for your family, your loved ones. So I just had to, and I want to say to Charlene Reese and her daughter and their family that we're all praying for you, family and non-family. And we thank God for you and your ministry to the body of Christ. Thank you. Now, I was watching last week a show called Inclusion. I think that was the name. That wasn't the name of it, but it was about inclusion. And it was about a pastor who was very, very famous, Carlton Pearson. Many of you may know him or have heard of him. And I mean, he was a singer, he was an evangelist, and he was all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And him and Carmen were great friends. Maybe many of you remember Carmen. He was a singer also. And they both got married in their later years, like 40 and 50 years old. They became married for the first times. And I happened to watch that show, and because there was a great controversy about that he had lost his way and that he was preaching the wrong message. After preaching the right message, then he turned to the wrong message. And not only that, his mentor was, what was his mentor? I am so sorry. I'll come up with Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was his mentor, and even he had to end up turning his back on him because of he decided that he wanted to teach inclusion, which is a fallacy. I think they call that a fallacy. Okay. Teaching that there was another way to go to heaven than through Jesus Christ and the finished works of the cross. And it just really touched my heart and it touched my spirit. And I wanted to just dwell on that subject for a moment. If you want to call in, if you have something to share, or if you think that's the right way and not the exact way that the Bible tells us that we're going to have eternal life, please call in at 740-383-9944. I will be here until top of the hour at 5 p.m. But I am going to talk about the gospel of inclusion. There was a church founded in 2003 by Giles Fraser. He was an advocate for the full inclusion of all people, regardless of ethnicity, gender, and sexual orientation. And they used this scripture, Galatians 3:28, that all men were created equal. And that is true. We all are created equal. And we all are equal in the eyes of God. And God did die for the whole world, the sin of the world. He paid the price. He did do that. He did die for the sin of the world, because we're all were born sinners because of Adam and Eve disobeying God. And they were put out the Garden of Eden and all that. And we all know the story. Maybe some do, maybe some of us don't. They were told not to eat the apple in the garden, and they ate the apple in the garden anyway, and God put them out the garden because they listened to another voice, which was Satan himself, and disregarded what God said. Now, they were both guilty, even though they were both dealt with separately. But they both had to pay a price. So, it doesn't matter whether you're married or you're as one, as man and wife. When you meet God face to face, you will pay for the sins in your body, and you will pay for the sins in your body. It doesn't matter. Okay? So, sometimes people think, well, I'll get out of it because I was following my husband. And he may say, I was following my wife. And, you know, God brought us together as one. But that does not give us the right to think that God is going to deal with us equally. Because we all have different intentions, okay? And that is how God deals with each and every one of us differently. They claim that the gospel of inclusion is simply an old heresy of universalism, repackaged and given a new name. Universalism is the belief that all people will eventually be saved and go to heaven. The gospel of inclusion, as taught by Carlton Pearson, which I just mentioned his name, and others, encompasses several false beliefs. Number one. The gospel of inclusion says that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ paid the price for all humanity to enjoy eternal life in heaven without any need of repentance. I don't know about you, but I know for myself. Acts 2:38 says that we have to repent and be baptized. That means turn away from your sins. Turn away from your wrongdoing. Because we all know when we're doing wrong. No matter what the sin is. Because God says, I have put a part in me in every human being. All my creation know me or know of me. So when we say, we don't know God, I don't know if God's real or not. That's a lie. According to Scripture. If you believe Scripture. Maybe you haven't read Scripture and you don't know what to believe, but I suggest you start reading it. And God has done that by giving us a conscience. Now the trees and the rivers and all those things, creation, even animals, they do what God programmed them to do. But he did not program man. Man has free will. So that there is also a difference. Number two, the gospel of inclusion teaches that salvation is unconditional and does not even require faith in Jesus Christ as the payment for mankind's sin debt. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures against some of these things that they are saying. Okay. All right. All humanity will, wait a minute, let me do this in order. Okay, I did number two, now number three says. The gospel of inclusion believes that all humanity is destined to live in heaven whether or not they realize it. You have to make a conscious decision whether you're going to follow Christ, the word of God, or not. You have to make a conscious decision. You have to believe in your heart and speak these things with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was sent here to die for your sin, and you are sorry for the wrong that you have done. And you thank Him for the sacrifice that He made on the cross. That means being killed and buried for 3 days and resurrected and walked the earth after that and ascended up to heaven. You must make a conscious decision of that. So you will realize what you're doing. You realize what you're doing? Anyway. So you have to realize that you have to make a conscious decision. The gospel of, number four, the gospel of inclusion declares that all humanity will go to heaven regardless of religious affiliation. Everyone does not believe in Jesus Christ. There's all types of religion out there. You got Buddhist, you got Muslims, you have Mormons, all types. Okay? There's all types of religions out there, and there are different beliefs. They do not believe the scripture as it is written in the Holy Scriptures, the King James Bible. Like I said, it's whether you believe or not. Okay, in the scriptures, that is the word of God, and that He used man to write it, but He told them exactly what to write. He inspired every word that was spoke, every word that was written. I was saying spoken, but yeah, He spoke the word to them, and they wrote it down. It's whether or not you believe that or not, okay? It does sound like a good thing that all of us are going to go to heaven regardless whether we believe it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, and whether we repent or not. It does sound like a good thing, doesn't it? But is that true? That's what matters. Is that true or is that false? Number five, lastly, the gospel of inclusion holds that only those who intentionally and consciously reject the grace of God after having tasted the fruit of His grace, will spend eternity separated from God. Now, that's what they're saying. If you intentionally and consciously reject the grace of God, that is the only way that you will spend eternity separated from God. Okay. And that's what I was saying. You have to make a conscious decision whether you're going to believe God, you're going to follow His word, and accept the grace to even go to heaven. You have to have faith. You have to faith. Faith is believing. You have to believe. That is faith. The gospel of inclusion runs counter to the clear teachings of Jesus in the Bible. In John's gospel, Jesus clearly states that the only path to salvation is through Him. That's John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Oh, so Jesus is saying that He is the only way even to the Father. Well, people say, well, why is that important? Because everybody knows and believes that there is a God and He lives in heaven. That's how important that is. God sent Jesus into the world to secure salvation for fallen humanity, but that salvation is only available to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ as God's payment for their sin. Now, these are scriptures that counter inclusion, the first five steps of inclusion I read to you. And this says again, but the salvation is only available to those who place their faith, their belief, in Jesus Christ as God's payment for their sin. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The apostles echoed this message, Ephesians 2. 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That means believing. Faith means to believe. And this is not your own doing. Even that is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, I went to church all my life. I never missed a Sunday. I never missed a Bible study. I was always there. I was always on time. I was always good to my neighbors. You know, I'm a good person. I don't hurt anyone. People can come to me for anything. Those works will not get you there. Okay? You must have faith in the finished works of the cross. All right, now we have 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. Let's see what that says. Though you have not seen him, who is that? Christ. You love him.
Hello?
Hold on. Excuse me.
Oh, are you broadcasting?
Yes. Can I help you? Here. What's your name?
It's for Carolyn.
Okay. There's the ticket.
Is that all you need, ma'am?
Yes, that's all I need. Thank you.
All right.
Alrighty.
You have a good day. Thanks.
You too. You're welcome.
Sorry to bother you.
Alrighty. God bless. Alright, let's see. Never a dull moment at the radio. We don't have a reception area, so forgive that, okay? 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. Though you have not seen him, who is that? The Lord or God. You love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is how you obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, because you have not seen him, but you believe. You love him. And though that you have not seen him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy and inexpressible full of glory. Okay, so that is against inclusion. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus. He claims to be the Son of God. That's what the Holy Scripture teaches us. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that's only through belief of him. Faith in him. Faith in Jesus Christ means no longer trying to secure salvation based on works, but rather trusting that what Jesus did was sufficient to secure salvation. If you don't have that trust, that faith, or that belief, are you saved? Even though you may be telling people, I'm a Christian, I am saved, but do you fall into this category? Do you? In conjunction with faith is repentance. Have you repented of your sins? Have you been sorry for the wrong that you have done? Or do you think the gospel of inclusion, that Christ died for the sin of the world and therefore I'm going to heaven and no one can keep me out because God has paid the price? Yes, he did. But did you accept what he did? Did you repent? Were you godly sorry for what you have done wrong in your life? We were born in sin. How else can you act? Except you receive Christ. Believe him and have faith in him and trust him. And turn from your sin. Can you be saved? Okay. The two go hand in hand. Repentance is a change of mind about your sin and need for salvation through Christ by faith, Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is power from God to live a changed life from a life of sin. Not saying that you're going to be sinless and that you'll never do anything wrong again, but it helps you live better and want to do better, okay? So, there is much to do other than just say, he died for me and I'm going to go to heaven, right? The act of repentance is one in which we acknowledge that before God, we were sinners, incapable of earning our way to salvation. When we repent of our sins, we turn away from them and seek Christ by faith. See, we can't even turn from our sins. We are incapable of doing that without the power from God. Jesus offers salvation to everyone who is willing to repent and believe. We just read that, John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. However, Jesus himself said that no one... However, Jesus himself said that not everyone will believe. Wow, let's see what that says. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. There are many on that. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, okay, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Whoa. Those who find it are few. 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 It makes me think about Noah and the ark. Eight souls out of, they say, probably millions of people was on the earth during that time. Can you imagine that? Eight people saved out of millions. That was a narrow escape, wasn't it? John, let me see. John, okay, that was 7. Okay, I read both of those. John 3:19. And this is the judgment and light. The light has come. Now my internet wants to mess up on me. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. We do not want to be in this category. We do not want to love the world and the things of the world so much that we miss God in heaven. No one likes to think that a loving and gracious God would send people to hell, but that is exactly what the Bible teaches. Jesus says that at the end, the Son of Man will separate all the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep representing those who, through faith in Jesus Christ, have salvation secured. We'll go into the kingdom with Jesus, the goats representing those who have rejected the salvation that Jesus offers, will go into Hades, which is described as eternal fire. Woo! You know, when I was watching that show with Carlton Pearson, he was saying, our loving God, why would he send people into a burning fire and burn up his people that he created, that he loves? And he said, this is not a loving God. This is not truth. He went against the Holy Scriptures. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, King Jesus, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the religious, or the righteous, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That was Matthew 25:31 through 46. That said a lot, didn't it? Yes, it did. An awful lot. An awful lot. This teaching offends many, and instead of conforming their thinking to the clear teaching of the Word of God, some change what the Bible says and spread this false teaching. The gospel of inclusion is an example of this. So it is a false teaching, according to Bible scholars and also according to the Word of God. Here are some additional arguments against the gospel of inclusion. If faith and repentance are not required to receive the gift of salvation, then why is the New Testament full of calls to repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ? So this is something for you to think about if you believe in the gospel of inclusion and that you're going to go to heaven anyway, no matter who, no matter what. If salvation doesn't require faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, then why did Jesus submit to such a humiliating and excruciating painful death? God could have just granted everyone a divine pardon. Okay? And that's what they're saying. Well, he died for everybody. He died for the sin of the world. And he did. But did you accept it? Did you believe that he did? Oh, just because you want to go to heaven, now you believe that he died for the sin of the world? Did you repent and become godly sorry for the wrong that you've done in your body? And how you've treated God? If everyone is going to go to heaven, whether they realize it or not, then what about free will? Is the atheist who has spent his life rejecting God, the Bible, Jesus, and Christianity going to be dragged into heaven, kicking and screaming against his will? The gospel of inclusion seems to indicate that heaven will be filled with people who don't necessarily want to be there. So in other words, they're saying if you did not receive Christ or repent or got yourself together, that you don't really want to go to heaven. So why are you there? How can all people go to heaven regardless of religious affiliation if there are so many religions, which I shared earlier, which hold contradictory claims? For example, what about people who believe completely different things about the afterlife, such as reincarnation, annihilationism, the idea that at death we cease to exist after death? Finally, if those who openly reject the grace of God don't go to heaven, then it's hardly a gospel of inclusion, is it? If all people do not go to heaven, do not call it the gospel of inclusion, because it still excludes some. The Apostle Paul called the message of the gospel the fragrance of death, 2 Corinthians 2:16. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? What he meant by this is that to many the message of the gospel is offensive. It tells people the truth about their sin and hopeless state without Christ. It tells people that there is nothing they can do to bridge the gap between themselves and God. For centuries there have been those, many, with good intentions, who have attempted to soften the message of the gospel to get more people into church. On the surface, that seems like the wise thing to do. But in the end, all it does is give people a false sense of security. Paul said that anyone who preaches a different gospel than the one he preached should be cursed, Galatians 1:8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. That is strong language, but once you realize how vitally important the message of the gospel is, you also realize how vitally important it is to get it right. A false gospel doesn't save anyone. All it does is condemn more people to hell or Hades and generate greater condemnation for those who purvey falsehoods, such as the gospel of inclusion. That is the end of that message. I have heard Rock Parsley say one time, well, we're all going to heaven, but we're all not going to stay there. For what I understand from the scriptures, you're not going except you put your faith, your trust, your belief in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and walked this land, who suffered, bled, and died for you and me, for the entire world. But if you don't believe it, if you don't repent, turn from your evil ways and say, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned against you and you only, which David said in Psalms 51. When he slept with another man's wife, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, you know, he said, against you and you only have I sinned. And that is our testimony. Against you, Lord, and you only have we sinned. We have to come to a conscious and intentional decision to follow Christ, to follow the Holy Scriptures, to take time and read the Holy Scriptures. We can't expect anybody else to do that for us. This is a personal thing. It is personal to you. It is personal to me. And I, you know, because I can say he's my God because I understand that he bought me with a price. He says, you are no longer your own. I own you. I paid for you with my blood and with my life because he came here 100% man and he was 100% God. I can't explain it. I'm not divine. I'm not sovereign. But he is. He is. So, who can explain God? None of us. Not teetotally. Because we don't know everything. We never will know everything. I don't think so. But I do have this understanding. To be with Christ. To be with the Father. To go to heaven. To live in peace. You must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Remission means those sins he died for. Then you shall be saved. If you feel differently, you know, and many of you may do. I don't know what else to say. but I think that the article I read made it clear. It's just so sad that a man of God, which he was, I used to listen to him, you know, years ago. He used to be on Trinity Broadcasting with Paul Crouch and them, you know. All of them turned their back on Carlton Pearson because he decided all of a sudden that our God, who says he loves the world, could not, would not send anyone to everlasting fire. He just could not. It was like a light bulb went off in him. And who set that light bulb in him, I don't know. But it was like a light bulb went off, and he no longer believed what he had been teaching and preaching all those years. I pray for those of you who have not received Christ, and that if you would just take the time to look for yourself, to read for yourself, to go to God for yourself, and ask him to save you and show him to you. He will do it. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People live today with Linda Sims. I was your not only host but also your guest today. I hope you enjoyed the article I read to you today. Will inclusion get you into heaven? No, it will not. But hopefully you'll tune in again tomorrow. I have a guest tomorrow, so I'll be looking forward to talking to those of you who listen faithfully, and maybe some new people will tune in to the show tomorrow. Let me see who I have tomorrow quickly. Amy Orr.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place.